Hey everybody.
Peace.
Welcome back to another episode of Remembering Me, a Soul Healing Podcast. I am Candace Love.
Y'all better know who I am by now. But if you know, Brick City Buddha, your boy, also known as Docs.
Yes. So we have taken quite some time,
Little hiatus.
a little hiatus. How long has it been? Or
It's
does
been,
it even matter?
I mean, if you're talking human concepts, it's been 3 weeks of quote unquote time.
Necessary time,
Yeah. Why
really.
was it necessary?
Rest, not having things to do, focus on, worry about outside of what was directly necessary.
Still,
Time for, go ahead.
you still got a lot done though. We still got a lot done.
We got a lot of things done. What did we get done?
So as you already know from the last episode, if y'all saw it, this is where product placement comes in. So you're gonna need to go ahead and bend over to the side. Not in that way right now. Pull up that book.
Right now.
I'm a little fresh right now. Y'all don't mind me. The book, of course, came out. It was already out. I think the last episode. No, was it?
I
It
know it
don't
wasn't.
matter.
Yeah, it
It
wasn't.
wasn't right. So the book came out. I believe we are at, well, the wife is at about
We are at.
almost 500 copies sold
Yep.
in 1 week. And mind you, she had the spiritual fortitude, the spiritual gangsterness to say, you know what? I'm gonna do this myself. I'm not about to give no cut to my side piece, Emma. That's our little thing. I call Amazon because packages are always showing up and the strange people pulling up. So I always play like she got a side piece that's named Emma. But she didn't go the Amazon route, decided to bag up the work by herself, of course, with my assistant. So she's able to keep all that reciprocity, not necessarily about just keeping the money, but you put your blood, sweat, tears, and soul into this project. So if you got to just take an extra step to make sure you reap those benefits just in honor of yourself, I think even that is commendable to see you do, because you could have easily just said, yeah, I just go get it off Amazon. I believe overseas has to, right? Because we haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, so I haven't quite figured out how to allow, my followers or my fan base, my supporter base to purchase that living overseas. And we have so many people who support us that
Right.
live overseas, Belgium, Africa, Netherlands. I mean, anywhere you can think of.
You global pimping.
You global
This
pimping.
is true.
And so I haven't quite figured that aspect out yet, and but I do know if you are overseas, you can order via Amazon. Everyone else will have to order via my website, candicelove.com. But if you're in somewhere like Canada, Mexico, Netherlands, the UK, wherever Amazon ships outside of the US, you can order via their website.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
All right, so we've been stressing out the post office, right? We pull up
Facts.
almost every day with bundles, and they like, look, y'all gonna have to start going around to the back because we don't want to do all this work. But of course, to be in the inside, looking in and out to see this whole thing come to fruition, it's different from the person actually at the forefront of the creativity. So how does it feel to have this idea ripen in your spirit? For you to honor it and stay committed to it, and then for you to move almost 500 books in the first week, when a lot of people do all this marketing, all this promotion, and struggle to sell 10, 15 books. You did almost 500 in 1 week. How does that feel?
I don't know that it's actually settled in my spirit yet. And I also don't know that it's necessary for it to.
Why not?
Because I felt like I was called to write it, called to put it into action. And my personal self, even though it is a personal book to a certain degree, wasn't really attached to it, like the feeling of, like the excitement or what I'm gonna get from and how much money I'm gonna make and the stores I can put it into wasn't really like a thought process. It was just like God said, move now.
Right.
And so I was kind of just like answering the call
Right.
as opposed to, oh my God, I'm so excited I'm writing my book. So now that I'm on the other end of that, I don't know that I actually feel what it feels like to even be able to use the title author. I don't know if I even feel Even when someone says, like, your book is really, really helping me right now, I'm crying as I read your book. I don't even know that I actually feel that. There's gratitude for it. It lands in my heart, but I don't know that there's a part of me that has
Ownership of that.
ownership, and I don't know that I need it. It's like, this is what God told me to do, so I hope everyone enjoys what it is.
Right, and low key, we talk a lot about conduit life. We're not trying to be healers or nothing like that. Of course, we function in what seems like those capacities, but at the end of the day, we just open portals for God to function through. So, with that being said, when you really live that life of a conduit, yes, there's a lot of effortless organic abundance that's going to come your way, but you also don't have the luxury slash you also have the freedom of not being attached to it, not being attached to what it's going to do. A lot of times when we do things like this, we're preparing to be like, yo, I wrote a book, and we want that feeling of owning the creativity.
The notoriety, all the things that come with it.
Right, but we don't realize a lot of times that's bondage in and of itself. So when you can go to the level that I saw my wife go to get this out to y'all and then be able to, I don't even feel like it's me. I don't even feel like I did it. That's giving all praise. That's giving all credence to source, to God, to the highest or deepest power within Candace that used her as a portal to put this out. So that's something y'all could keep in mind because a lot of times I always say we think that we got to just avoid the pain and the stress. But being a meditation teacher, knowing how the mind works, even the things you accomplish end up becoming stress. Even the things you acquire end up becoming stress because one, you went through all the work to create it. Let's say you were fortunate enough to create it or accomplish it. Now comes the stress of maintaining it, right? Now comes the stress of doing whatever you got to do to not lose it. When you just the conduit is out, I'm good at this point. That's God's work. He just decided to write my name on it as a co-writer, if you will. So that's a great approach to take. And there's one more thing I do want to talk about is as far as this book, and I think it's a great segue because today we're going to be talking about infidelity and cheating. You guys have wanted us to talk about that for a few weeks now, but I think it's dope that the other thing that was quote unquote accomplished in these past 3 weeks was Sasha Flowers, the rebrand. Right? We drove all the way to Dallas, had a very fun trip. And what you've been seeing in your head, what you've been envisioning as far as your new packaging came to fruition. And there was a moment where you just coming off of this, and this is still very much so alive. This version of you still wants you to be her manager and go hard for her. But once you saw them bottles, mind you, she been sleeping in the bed with the bottle. Now I'm the side piece. The Sasha Flowers bottles is in the bed with it. So cute. But once you had that
I'm
rush.
falling asleep with the Sasha Flowers bottles in my hand. I'm waking up like, oh, I fell asleep holding
Facts.
my bottle, looking at it.
Facts. But once you had that rush, it was like, all right, it's time to go. And you started to debate, all right, well, when is going to be my new launch day? You want to talk a little bit about that process and what choice you came to?
So, the book process. And so what happens when you're guided by source and creation, when you're really tapped in and listening and in flow and in stillness, your compass on when to move is kind of just like guiding you. It's almost like when you're in the ocean, you don't really have a lot of control on where to go. You're just kind of
Facts.
staying afloat as the ocean takes you where the ocean wants you to go. And if you are in tune with the water, you will float and you will get exactly where you are supposed to go. You'll be fine. And so that's what happened with the book. I just followed my intuitive guidance, what source wanted me to do. And with that, I was also simultaneously working on Sasha Flowers. I've never worked on two creations at one time, but this was the first time where my portal was just so intense. It was like work on the book and work on the rebranding of your skincare line as well. So in my mind, how I wanted to do it was I'm going to have a book launch, a book release, and I'm also going to rebrand Sasha Flowers, my organic skincare line, and I'm going to have a launch party for both on the same day. In my mind, that's a great idea. And it's like, well, the book just came out. Let's do Sasha Flowers now. People are asking about my skincare line now. Let me go ahead and put it out. I already have all of the energy of the book that's present that a lot of people are excited about. So allow the skincare line to really attach to that energy and allow that momentum to just push both forward. But it takes a lot to be in the creative process in a natural way. And you start to, when you're really in flow and you're really listening to source, your intuition and your spirit and your soul, you start to easily feel when you're, I don't like to use the term out of alignment, but when you're not in flow, when it becomes difficult, when it becomes a task, when it, when the creativity ain't creating, like, you know, when the thought processes of how to get things to go just don't feel like they are aligned with what your spirit is asking you to do. And I don't know, how did we even get to the topic of me coming in a room that night? My husband was in, so we have two rooms in our home. And one of the rooms serves as his meditation room.
When my son is not there.
Right, when his son is not there. And so sometimes he just goes into the room and I was just being a wife, just following him. I was following him in the room and he's sending out homework to his clients. And I'm just sitting there looking at him and like talking to him. And I know he like, girl, I know you see me sending out homework.
And I wasn't.
And I just, I'm sitting there talking to him. But how did we even get to this conversation of me pivoting?
Because you asked what I thought as far as the launch and when we should do it. And as you was asking the question, you know, I could always feel your emotions. I'm like, something seemed off. Like, what do you feel right now? And you smiled, you felt into it, and you was like a little overwhelmed. Right? So in that moment, we started to open up because we was already like, as soon as you have gathered your strength, we're going to start focusing on the party and all this other stuff. But in that moment, I realized that this was an opportunity, just like we talked about with the food a few podcasts previous, for you to honor this new version of yourself that has the power and enough experience to choose ease. Mm-hmm. It would not have been easeful to come right off of the book, which is still just being birthed and still needs a lot of your attention, to go right into what Sasha Flowers is going to also need. So we was able to talk through that, and you got to the point where it's like, yeah, I'm actually putting this pressure on myself, because none of y'all may want the product, but y'all not telling her you got to launch right now.
Right.
It's just the fact that I have this baby and it's here. Let's go right now. And that's the thing. Sometimes you're going to build the ark and you got to wait for that storm to come to realize why the ark was purposeful. As soon as we build, we want to just go straight to it. In that moment, you realize, yes, it was time for me to bring it to fruition, but not time for me to actually give it to the world yet.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when I come to the term of feeling overwhelmed, once that is, and so it's not to say that when you create things, you won't have to go through the full spectrum of emotion.
Absolutely.
It's not to say that when you create things, it's going to be 100% ease. But if you are in flow, you'll know that it's still in alignment with what you're supposed to be doing. And this feeling of feeling overwhelmed did not feel in alignment, because so many other things also felt overwhelming. And so what my message was that I feel like I received from spirit was to slow down. There is no race. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to be. And just because spirit plants the seed does not mean that it's meant for you to cultivate it right now.
Right.
Sometimes the seed is just meant for you to acknowledge it, to prepare yourself for it. Sometimes when spirit plants a seed or an idea in your mind, maybe it's time for you to clean up your diet so you can clear out space within your vessel for that flourishing, that flourishment of whatever the idea is to actually take place in your life. And so what I recognized for me is I already had a seed planted with my book.
Right.
And not only did I have the seed planted, I was given the instruction to follow through with it. And if I moved forward with Sasha Flowers right then in a rushed way, because we already had the date, the location, the photographers, we had all of those things in place. All they needed was dates, times, and payments. And so if I move forward in that, I would not have been following the book completely through to fruition. There's hundreds of people messaging me about a book club. There's so many stores that I want to put my book in. And so I haven't even like touched on planning those things.
And wouldn't have been able to.
And would not have been able to, because I would have gone from one thing to another. And that was the lesson that I learned the first time that I learned Sasha Flowers. I asked for something and I was not prepared to actually follow it through the way that it was supposed to.
So you came full circle in that moment.
Absolutely, because the last time with Sasha Flowers, I planned for, 50 products. I sold over 5,000 products in, that first month. And so I asked for something, but I didn't know how to maintain it. I didn't know how to follow through with it. I knew nothing about business.
Right.
I didn't even know nothing about taxes. Right. I didn't even have, I didn't have anything that I was supposed to have a business. I just knew how to make products, and I sold them. And so I didn't follow through the way that I needed to because I had the seed, but I didn't follow through with the other aspects of spirit was asking me to do with that seed. I was so behind on just putting products out. So now spirit gave me the seed with the book and I needed to sit still and listen. What is my next step with the book?
And it was all, not to cut you off, it was almost like in that moment you sitting on the bed. It was 360 and you back at that fork in the road. Are you going to do the same thing to yourself again? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to choose this new version of yourself? And it was almost like I could see you computing as we was talking and seeing what that version of yourself would have looked like and how burnt out you would have been and how much you wouldn't have been able to enjoy the ride of now bringing Sasha Flowers, which you've been so excited about rebranding. You would have got it done. But you would have not enjoyed that and you would have been at the point where it's time to actually start to send the orders out. You would have been depleted and you was able to see all of that in that conversation and choose the new version of yourself. My bad.
Right. Yeah, I would have definitely been depleted. And by me being depleted, I would have never been able to actually enjoy my creation. I would have never been able to enjoy what God put on my heart. And I would have never been able to see what it could actually do because I would have went on to the next thing. And that's when you I can't remember the term that you actually used.
Creative infidelity, since we about to talk about cheating.
Yeah, creative infidelity is when you create one thing and then you go to the next and you go to the next and you go to the next. And there's so much spiritual, a lack of responsibility. Mm-hmm. In doing that, because if God gives us a creative idea, which is just a seed, then it is our duty to really nurture it, birth it, and allow it to grow exactly how it should grow. So I had to give myself permission to say it's time to rest.
Right.
And this thing to create is not the time for that. Yes, I'm going to continue working on that, but I recognize spirit just gave me the idea. Every single day, additions to the idea come. It's like, oh, well, I could do this and I could do this. So I'm just taking notes. And eventually those notes are going to come from the energy from the book. And then they're going to manifest to the energy of the spiritual or the physical realm.
Right.
But right now it's just meant for me to receive the downloads. And then when it's time, they'll manifest into the physical.
And that's part of, I think when we initially came up with, when I was talking about the term initially, it was me, you, and Wintrous quarterbacking an event together.
Right.
And initially I called it Creative Deadbeat Dads, because if you are in that flux, like I know a lot of musicians, artists, all type of stuff, and very much so based on metrics and algorithms and how many likes and how much attention we get. If we feel like something isn't getting enough attention, even though spirit may be telling you, continue to work this baby, continue to take care of this baby, but it's like, nah, I got to go on to the next thing. Then we've kind of bastardized our creation. And you get to the point where you got 10, 15, 20 endeavors and you scratching your head. I've done all this work. Why is none of this working? Because you've been skipping out on creations before it was time. I was just telling my wife the other day, my approach with social media, you know, she had, what you got, like 110,000 followers or something like that at this point?
22.
Oof, my bad. 122,000 followers, right? I got my, you know, my 25.6 or 0.7, whatever it is,
right?
But it's beautiful to watch because we are so detached. And we've had people tell us, y'all live for social media. Y'all have no idea. We get in, do what we got to do, and get out and live our life. But with that distance, with that space, with us being conduits and not being attached, My 25.6, I've seen some of my posts have more reach than people with 200,000 followers. I got posts that have done 500,000, just my regular posts of me talking. Based on the algorithm, I shouldn't be able to do that, but it happens. But also, there are those times I put up a beautiful post, I feel like it's going to do numbers, it don't do nothing. So I told her at this point, I just take the approach that this is a part of my job, and I'm just punching. Like a battle rapper, like a fighter, I'm throwing jabs, and one of these things is going to land. As long as one or two land a week, I can continue to keep what I got going. But I don't let when I have 100 like posts bother me, and then the next day, well, I ain't going to post because they're not really rocking with me. Nah, I'm going to throw it up anyway, and that may be the one that's going to do 200,000-300,000. But when you have that level of detachment and when you are honoring spirit, when it's telling you stay here and take care of this seed, it may be 6 months, it may be a year before you actually see it grow up into what you envision. But if you skip it before it's time, you're gonna have to put all that work into something else that spirit never even told you to do. And like I said, you're gonna have 10-20 endeavors, none of which are popping because you keep bastardizing your creations.
Absolutely. I love that.
Thank you, baby. There's one other thing too before we get into the main topic. I did want to allow you to the space to address it. And I think it's beautiful, like, watching your process with writing this book. And, you know, I'm an English lit major. Like, everything has, like, panned out with how well we fit together to the degree I never could have wrote this down in my list. I want her to be this, that, and third. She's just naturally that and vice versa. So she's an author. And at a certain point where she needs to get her editing, I'm like, bro, this is what I do. I used to get paid to do people's papers and edit people's papers in college as an English lit major. So at a certain point, I had to ask her, what approach do you want me to take? Do you want me to just read through it, or you want me to do grammatical stuff too? She thought about it. She was like, nah, just read through it. Make sure it's cohesive. And I did to the certain degree that she needed me to. And now that the book is out and I'm able to start reading a chapter at a time, of course, I'm still noticing that there are what the world will call grammatical errors, right? But it's just so beautiful to understand when you are a conduit, you're no longer relegated to the linearness of how the world tells you you should do something. One of the beautiful things about nature is you kind of remove yourself from the angularness of those buildings y'all see behind us. When you constantly are in buildings, there's ceilings, there's angles, there's lines, and you start to think in that pattern. Nature is amorphous. Nature doesn't have a particular shape. It's all these different shades and hues and textures going on. So you start to become okay with not needing linearness. So it was almost unintentional, but your spirit, your unconscious mind was like, it's going to be purposeful that what the world will call grammatical errors are going to be in this book. And even that is going to be a layer of healing that I would like you to talk about before we move forward to the actual topic.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been writing my book since I was 16. And when I put the book together, it was just formatting it for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And in that process, obviously, you know, Microsoft Word don't catch it. And if my eye don't catch it, then that's kind of it. But I had so much that even when I did, you know, allow my book to be sent to an editor, they all told me that this is two books. This right. is not how an average book is. It's too many pages. It's too many words. It's too many chapters. It's not even designed like a regular book. And so I was quoted over $6,000 just to have my book edited
right.
or to make it into two books.
Mm-hmm.
My spirit didn't tell me to make it into two books. I could have easily said, okay, cool, make it into two books. I'm going to charge people $33 each book. That would have been $66 per package for me to put in my pocket. But that's not what my spirit guided me to do. It was like, no, this ain't about making a come up on money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not two books. I want them to have all of the lessons. And then I also want them to have all of the journal prompts in the back.
Right.
I can't take anything else out of the book. It has to be two.
Mm-hmm.
I also didn't have $6,000 to have my book edited.
Right.
And so what I had to do was go through it myself, allow my husband to go through what he could. And at some point I had to release expectations to outcomes. I had to release control, and I had to release the spirit of perfectionism.
Mm.
To my knowledge, I don't carry the spirit of perfectionism,
right.
but I do have the OPP other people's perception of when they do receive something like your book, and you want them to have a beautiful experience when they receive it. You want them to think that it is professional, like something they would buy from the stores. And I had to recognize this just ain't gonna be this book. This is a 400 page book, and there's a lot of nuances to this book, and it's not going to be perfect. And what I also recognized is everything in society tells everyone to be perfect. My book is about emotional healing. Nothing about the healing process is perfect. Nothing about the healing process is pretty. That's why the cover of the book has all of those different colors. Everything is so bunched up. Even you have the red to signify the blood and the bleeding into all the colors, is because our journey is chaotic and it's not perfect by any means. And so every book that a person has ever read signifies perfectionism, which kind of reflects their reality of their need to subconsciously be perfect to receive love, acceptance, and appeal to other people's perceptions. I had someone reach out to me that is a deep supporter of both of us. Like, she's always being super supportive, and she sent me a message from straight love. I didn't get any ill intent behind her message. And she basically said, "I love your book so much. However, it does have a lot of misspelling, grammatical errors." And she was like, "I hope that by me sending you this message, that in the future you can get these errors taken care of so the reader can have an easier time reading your book." And so I had to respond to her and tell her every book that you've ever read was perfect. None of them in its perfect form actually reflect who you are as a person. Your imperfection, your emotional imperfections, your spiritual imperfections, all the things within your being that directly highlight all of the nuances of your journey. And even down to when you're reading a word that may not be present, or you're reading a word that may have grammatical errors in it, just reminding her, like, even when you see a word that is misspelled, you're getting a clear indication or a clear invitation into my psyche. You're getting to see where I was, what I was experiencing, and the emotional chaos that was that I was experiencing internally that manifested on paper. So you're getting to see where I was emotionally, spiritually, energetically, and that energy is now manifesting on paper for you to see it, experience it, and feel it. And so to want things to be perfect is also robbing yourself and me as the author of my authentic experience and my authentic expression. Even when I express myself verbally, it doesn't always come out as perfect. And so the real indication or the real invitation that we have to acknowledge is, why is the need for perfection so necessary? I also told her about an author called
Fernando Pessoa,
who also gave me permission to write exactly how I needed to write. My husband found this author, and he's so many other things. But as we read his book or chapters from his book, we recognize that he has chapters that are scattered. It may be chapter 2. It may jump to chapter 19.
Some of the chapters repeat. Some of them are backwards. He writes from other personalities as not even himself.
So he has some pages that are blank. Five pages at a time that are blank in the middle of his book. And the purpose is to interrupt how the reader reads. The purpose is to interrupt what the reader is expecting, and to so they can give themselves permission to read from the author's point of view, not based on how you want the book to make you feel, how you want to perceive the book, and the perfection that you think the book should be. And so my whole synopsis to her was just to remind her, nothing about my journey is perfect. Nothing about the title of my book, Remember Who the F You Are. I had so many people tell me, you probably shouldn't name your book that, because it's going to offend some people.
Meanwhile, The Art of Not Giving a
Exactly.
It's doing what it's doing. Like.
Right. So really what I had to remind her is that your need for my book to be perfect is a reflection of your spirit probably inviting you to take a look at your need for perfectionism, for your need to even control by trying to control me, to have me fix my book for future readers. If my spirit wanted me to have a perfect book, then it would have came out perfectly. And so this wasn't really about me. It was more so about her having an invitation to take a look at her need for perfectionism.
But you also not going to sit there and disrespect God, as Lux say, or yourself or that book, because it is perfect and it's nonlinearness.
Absolutely.
Because, again, it wasn't your intent to do that. The circumstances led you to have to release, like, all right, this is how it's supposed to go out. But like you said, you wrote that in a feverish pitch, right? Just like probably, I forgot the actual term of it, but there are artists from, I believe, the mid-1900s, and they would get, like, possessed by certain spirits.
Absolutely.
And it wouldn't even be them, and they would be making this art based on what the spirit was doing through them. A lot of that did not look, quote unquote, artistically perfect to the people of their time, but now those paintings are extremely popular. So even though it was circumstantial, even as I was reading the book, as the English major that I used to be, and I'm recognizing the grammatical differences, not even errors or mistakes, I'm like, yo, hold up. This is a layer of healing that you didn't even anticipate of putting in, because it was challenging me each time. Why is it so important for me to need that comma? Why is it so important for me to need that word to be completed? While as I'm reading it, it's an easy read. I feel like I'm peeking in somebody's window. I'm getting what I'm supposed to get out of it. So even my idea of what perfection was shifting, and things that had nothing to do with the actual content of what you put in that book. These are the layers that God wants to be able to work on for you, through you, but you have to get to that point where you can be a lot like nature and allow that non-linear perfection to start to come online and allow the God to just kind of do what he do.
So you also gotta acknowledge too the a huge portion of me writing this book, I was crying.
Right.
A huge portion of me writing this book, I was exploring anger. Right. I was exploring grief. I was exploring deep sadness and memories of my childhood and my past and my addiction. So when you read this book, someone said that I love this book so much because it's like I'm reading into your diary. Mm-hmm. The average book that you read is going to be so perfect because they are giving you instructions on what you should do.
Right.
There isn't a lot of human spirit, soul, energy attached to it through its transparency.
Right.
And so the other thing that I said to you today is, this is, you know, in hindsight, I wish that I was able to say to the reader in the book that everything is not going to appear perfect in this book. Everything is not going to appear like the average book. My chapters aren't even like the average book. My chapters look like me. Right. It look like how I want them to look.
Right. The LOLs, the ha-has. Right. All that. Yeah.
Even the LOLs. Because when I was writing the book, I was like, LOL in a book is so not professional. Right. But this mess is funny.
Facts.
And I want them to know, like, facts, I'm laughing right here. So I chose to put LOL in my book. I'm sure that the average the average publisher would be like, girl, right, no, right, we not doing this. And so even with that, if I would have put in my book the disclaimer,
right,
my book is not going to showcase perfectionism like other books, that would have still been me attempting perfectionism.
Linear perfection. Linear. Because it's still perfect.
It's still perfect in what it's supposed to be, but to the societal eye who needs perfectionism based on how society presents it.
Right.
No perfect books in their mind have no errors.
Right.
And so if you're looking for perfection and you came to the wrong place.
You're looking for linear perfection because it's still
perfect.
Yeah,
societal perfection.
And it's dope because, like, even the catharsis I had to go through to come up with me writing those 5 pages that I wrote that was supposed to be for nobody to see at that point, that became your foreword, right?
Right.
Even as I was reading the foreword, and the foreword is beautiful. I never intended for anybody to see that. At a certain point, I felt like maybe I'm supposed to put this in my book. I got Memoirs of a Former F-Boy that I'm working on. But as you was asking me about the foreword, you wanted me to write it. And I'm like, oh, hold up. Spirit compelled me to go look at what I had already like journaled for myself. I'm like, I think this may be perfect. And she read it. She's like, nah, this is it. And as I'm reading the book, and people have already, you know, shouted me out too for how beautiful the foreword is to them. All my mind could think about initially as I read it was I repeated the same word closely, like within two or three sentences. And, you know, me being an artist, me being a writer, English lit major, all these things, I never do that. But again, I didn't write this with the intent of anybody else seeing it. It was just me getting out what I had to get out. So it wasn't a big deal for me. It just was another indication that there are going to be approaches God is going to have to take that is not going to make sense to you. But if you are in clarity of being a conduit and receiving what you're supposed to, 9 times out of 10, throw your expectations, throw what you see as perfect out the window, because God sees from a scope that we can't possibly fathom from this linear what's in front of me perspective.
Absolutely.
Right. So with that being said, also like that aspect of me going into my soul initially for what I felt like was for myself when I was feeling inadequate and all those things that you was like, yo, maybe you should journal. It's crazy because you pushed the notepad over to me like, maybe you should write about it. You gave me the pen.
Yeah.
I had no intentions on doing that. I really didn't even want to do it. I'm like, all right.
I know you didn't want to do
like,
it.
Right.
Because he was having, you know, his moment of processing emotion. And my thing is, well, there are versions of you that are attempting to get your attention. This is your opportunity to really form a relationship with them and have a conversation with them. So I gave him a notepad. I gave him a pen. And I saw he was like, I ain't trying to do this mess.
Right. And eventually I did. And what I got 2 to 3 weeks later became the missing piece at that point to your book. So this is a perfect, I guess, segue, because I had to like reach into my own hell to help you create what's going to become paradise for other people, because you got 400 pages of therapy in that book that I've been privileged to have a component of. The first thing you read is the foreword. I had to go into my depths to pull that out, to hand that over to you, of course, with your indication that maybe you should do this. But that's a level of, I guess, provision.
That's crazy, because I never even thought about that
right,
till now.
Right. That's a level of provision. That's a level of nonlinear perfection.
Yeah.
That's a level of guidance. So before we even go into as much as we can with the infidelity aspect, we've also had conversations this week about what you needed to do, even if it wasn't conscious, to be able to be prepared for a man that's about his SHIT spiritually and like devoted to God, to be able to have the wisdom that I'm able to share with you, and then vice versa. But before you can even get to how do we fix cheating on each other, and men is not the only people cheating, right? Before we can even get to that, we got to understand, well, how do the relationships that work even work? I just put up a post of how much we are kind of surprised of how much we really enjoy being married. Like, we felt like we got lied to for our whole life. The wife is the ball and chain, and dudes don't want to go in their house when they get off work because it's just so miserable. And, you know, the vets, 30, 40-year-old couples are, well, y'all only got the... Right now, this is paradise. It's fun. It's funny. It's beautiful. It's challenging. All those things included. But before we even go to the infidelity, like, what do you think was some of the conscious and unconscious things that prepared you to be with a man like me, to be able to enjoy this paradise?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I think, you know, I think one, working on myself, my own personal healing journey. Because when you work on your own self and your own personal healing journey, your main job is to intentionally see you and see who you are. And so you have a lot of practice in shining the light on your blind spots. You have a lot of practice in self-reflection, and you have a lot of practice in not running from yourself.
Right.
And so what happens when people get into relationships or marriages, they've never seen themselves, and now they have someone who's constantly shining a light on all of their blind spots, and they feel like they're being attacked. They feel like the person is always trying to blame them. They always feel defensive, and they are just butting heads because they're both holding mirrors to themselves. And so because I've always held a mirror to myself,
great answer.
Us being in our marriage, it doesn't feel like an attack when you also help me hold the mirror up.
Great answer.
Right. It doesn't feel like you are coming at me when there are certain areas of myself that I may not see that still may need a little bit more nurturing. And because I was always already on my self-love journey,
right,
now it feels easeful to not have to hide the things that don't look the best to society.
Right.
Moments where I may be really emotional, moments where I may feel something that I have absolutely no idea what I feel or why I feel. Mm. And you have the ability to just hold space for me. That is because, and the only reason I can allow you to hold space for me is because I've held space for myself.
Mm.
And so the way that I've shown up for myself makes it easier to allow you to show up for me and to know that you're just trying to help me in these spaces.
Mm, beautiful answer.
What about you?
And it's dope even before I give my answer because, you know, I work with so many couples. I work with so many clients. And, you know, women will pray. You know, we just try and work with the battery. So if y'all see us checking, we're just doing our best to squeeze this into this podcast.
Yeah.
Work with us, y'all. But yeah, I work with so many women and just talking in general. You know, women will pray and pray and pray for a brother because, you know, brothers that's prepared, like really prepared on every level, not just financially and sexually, but those emotional and spiritual aspects. It's not a lot of us out here yet. And if it is, we don't balance out with the amount of, I think, women who are actually actively doing the work. So women, a lot of women will pray for that who haven't become an expert in holding that mirror up to themselves.
Right.
Actually, the opposite, they are more comfortable in not taking accountability and ownership of the part they play in the quote unquote toxic relationships and the things that are going haywire in their life.
Right.
So when they may get their hands on a brother who is doing that work, they don't know how to handle that. And they may end up missing what could have been a blessing. If that happens, that's what's meant. I believe everything is always in alignment. So you may have just been in that relationship with a beautiful brother who was ready to love you how your soul needed to be loved, just to realize I got more work to do. But when it gets to the point where you are ready and capable to share this type of union, you realize those things, hindsight being 2020, that you did have to get in pocket. So that was a great answer, one, from the female perspective. From mine, I feel like I already had the humility locked in. I've been a very humble person my whole life. And even though we are very intelligent people, I've never been so intelligent that I didn't allow myself to be questioned. I questioned my own decision making, not out of doubt of myself, but just to make sure I'm in alignment with what God needs me to do. I had that locked in. I had to get to the point where I had to become more confident in how much I dedicate myself to God to understand I'm worthy of being able to give a being like you, as powerful as you are. A lot of men would cower and how intelligent and beautiful and talented and how much you have to offer the world, especially if the finances ain't matched, especially if we ain't have a bunch of money to throw at you. A lot of men would have seen their own insufficiencies in this relationship. So for me to have to get to a point where it ain't matter what was in my bank account, I know how much I've dedicated myself and become a conduit to the infinite wisdom. It's no longer about what Docs has to provide you as far as guidance. I know at any given moment I can open up the portal of myself, receive what I need to, and offer it to you whether you take it or not. That has made me confident over the years, all that time I spent in meditation and in the forest. Had I not had that locked in, this would not have worked because I would have constantly been second guessing myself and not been confident enough to guide you in the moments where you are asking for my guidance.
Yeah, I love that. Right. I think that makes sense. I think that's a beautiful balance too.
Right. So that has laid the foundation for us to be at a point where beyond us thinking each other is cute or attractive or whatever it may be, there's a certain foundation of work that we have done that puts us in a space where traditional monogamy is not a ball and chain. It's not superimposed on us by society of what we supposed to do with our love. This is what feels natural to us because I don't need or want nobody but this woman and vice versa. So it sets a groundwork where monogamy or exclusivity, I say, can exist in a way where we never have to worry about anybody doing anything outside of this relationship, where she knows the code to my phone and vice versa. I can leave my phone in the bathroom. I can leave my phone in the van. I go in HEB or whatever. I could have never done that 10 years ago, right? Maybe even 7 to 8 years ago. I'm so confident and it feels so free because I know.
And it's so interesting because you'll go in the store and leave your phone and I'm like, oh, baby, you forgot your phone. And you're like, no, I'm good. I don't need it.
Right. And there's no even compulsion for her to even go through my phone or vice versa because we are standing on that firm foundation of the work that we already put in before we got here.
Yeah. And that's the thing when, you know, a lot of people are like, before I get into a relationship, you need to come to me healed. Basically saying you need to come to me perfect. And it's instead of saying that, I think the healthier thing to say is you need to have done specific amounts of work to see yourself, to acknowledge yourself, to self-reflect, and really form a relationship with yourself that allows you to see the areas that still need nurturing.
Absolutely.
That does not mean that you're going to be perfect and show up 100% all of the time, mm-hmm. but at least you're able to identify the areas that still need nurturing, identify the areas that you may be blind to, or be open to someone helping you dissect the areas that you have not been privy to before. And a lot of times when it comes to infidelity, the average person has not acknowledged the wounded parts of themselves that causes them to have infidelity in their relationship. They have not acknowledged the trauma, the wounds, the voids, the loneliness, where those things stem from and keeps them in these self-sabotaging behaviors or these relationships that they are also sabotaging, the people that they're sabotaging and hurting, acknowledging that their behavior has a rooted place that it stems from. If you have not acknowledged that before you enter a relationship, you get into a relationship and you just be cheating all over the place.
Right.
And you just think that you're attracted to other women. Or you'll just think that you're attracted to other men. And you'll also think, well, I want to experience multiple men. A lot of people right now are really deep into the polyamory life and they aren't even clear on why.
Right.
And so there's an underlying reason to why. But when you're really tapped into who you are, where your emotions, your traumas, your wounds and your voids stem from, you can enter relationships in a very healthy way.
Right. And there's no shade to poly life. There are people who have done the work to be able to maintain that type of relationship. But I feel like a lot of people overlook how much work it takes to engage with one other individual. And a lot of times you write, I know from my own experience and me writing memoirs that I'm realizing all that moving and shaking I was doing sexually was me being able to have multiple different buffers to not have to face myself. At a certain point, it wasn't even about the sex or the sensation of busting a NUT or whatever you want to say. It was about me having multiple places to not have to look at me, to not have to deal with the pain. So in that, somebody asked a few different questions, and I remember putting up a post that in order to heal from a toxic relationship, you first have to heal with, through, and that version of yourself that accepted it. So somebody had asked me, and tell me what you feel about this. If you are like really doing the work, if you have done enough work, like by the point we got together, we had done enough work to be ready for this type of relationship, correct?
Correct.
Do you feel like it could ever be an instance where somebody has done enough of that to be ready for that type of partner, where if they get with somebody who is not ready, they wouldn't be able to detect this person is not ready. This person doesn't have the wherewithal to not have a chance of stepping out on me. Do you feel like if you've done enough of that work, you're always going to know, nah, they're not ready?
So are you saying that if I've done enough work, the person that is coming into my awareness?
Let's say when I came into your awareness and we hitting it off, do you feel like some sensor would have kicked in if I had not done enough work?
Absolutely.
Okay. Speak on that.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. So when people get into relationships, they hear what their wounds need them to hear. Mm. They hear what their trauma need them to hear.
Oh, wow.
So when I hear a person and I've done certain work on myself, I can see the red flags walking. I can right. hear the red flags. I can see the vibration of red flags coming off of their body.
Right.
But if a person is still wounded, they're in their woundedness and they still have not done work to even identify their trauma, mm-hmm. they're going to be in la la land in heaven with butterflies in their stomach,
right.
listening to the exact same words that are coming out of this person's mouth, where I only see red flags.
Right.
Your wounds and your traumas hear what they need you to hear. So if you do the proper work on yourself, you can see right. that, oh, this is probably not something that I should entertain.
Right.
And it'll be easy for you to see that. You'll be able to see the only reason why I am entertained by this is because it activates a certain wound in me where I want to be seen.
Right.
I want to be heard, acknowledged. This person makes me feel like they'll never leave me. So I don't have to worry about the abandonment issue from my father when I was younger.
Right.
This person hears me. I was never heard by my family when I was younger. This person sees, acknowledges my accomplishments. I wish my mom would acknowledge my accomplishments. And finally, I have someone to do it. And so now when you are aware of what your wounds and your traumas are, you don't go looking for this potential partner
right.
to fill those wounds for you or to fill those voids for you or medicate those wounds. You are able to see, I only like you because you make me feel seen.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for me to see myself. I only like you because you make me feel beautiful. I guess I don't really feel beautiful if you aren't here. Now it's time for me to hype up and love myself.
Right.
So if you do that work, you can definitely Absolutely. See those red flags and, a mile away.
And people almost kind of think it's pretentious to say that because you may not have. And I say it once an episode. This is the point where I say this is why meditation is so important, because those CDs, SIDDHIS, I believe I've mentioned it before, which is like your spiritual special powers. The more you go within yourself, these would seem like special powers to the outside world, which is natural technology that you have to go within and tap into. They start to come online. And if y'all are a mother, if you ever been around a mother, you know mothers have a certain sense of smell. They could smell funk from five miles down the road before it ever even hit your nostrils. They could smell that boy that you say you like is not really about it. That mother knows, that wolf knows, that primal animal sixth sense starts to come online. And what you weren't aware of before you started to level up in this aspect of yourself, these special powers, these CDs comes online. And you may have a date and express to somebody else, well, yeah, I felt like this wasn't it. And you express why. They like, well, you need to give him a chance. They don't have the mother knows yet spiritually. They wouldn't even be able to detect what you within 5 minutes was able to see. Oh, no, he not ready. Or she not mm-hmm. ready. I was able to see that she was ready before I even knew what this was going to develop into in the post I read on her birthday. Right. I talk about it all the time, how she mentioned and spoke about solitude. I didn't know she was going to be for me, but I knew whoever she was going. Oh, nah, she's ready. I was able to read that in the caption. My spiritual mother nose was able to smell the way she was putting those words together, the certain details of that yeah. solitude life you were able to mention. I'm like, no, you have to live that to be able to say that, to be able to know, to mention that about solitude. And before I could even know, it's funny. We had a moment this week. You know, we had a flood the other day. Houston be going crazy with y'all weather. We good on the joint, baby?
Yeah, baby, we good.
And Houston be going crazy with y'all weather. So it's been raining crazy. Our car was parked on the street. It got flooded out. And again, we are in that wavelength of nonlinear perfection. So most people get their car flooded, they tight.
Right.
We ain't even bat an eye. Like, oh, all right, car flooded. Now, thank God we got a van. But, you know, we was able to see the silver lining in it. So now we car shopping with the money that we got back from the flood insurance. And in doing so, we had a moment where it was this particular car, you know, she want her moonroof, her sunroof, whatever you want to call it. And we went to see a car that was perfect. And, you know, we go to give our quote of what we feel like we can afford. And the dude goes back to tell the manager. So at a certain point, he like, look, just come back here and talk to him. So we go back there, and it's this big buff brother back there. He didn't even look at us as we was coming in. And at a certain point, it started to become like heightened in how my wife and him was expressing. Now, I know she can handle herself. Y'all know as beautiful as she is, she knows how to handle herself. But it was a certain point where I realized that they were like a match energetically for that competitive getting my point across. And at a certain point, I felt like, you know, their voices had heightened to a point where I knew he still wasn't going to do nothing. Like, it wasn't a matter of that. But it just felt like, as your husband, you don't got to do that. You never have to go to a point where you need to be even raising your voice with another man while I'm there, right? So we get through the moment. We realize this is not supposed to be the car. We get back in the car. And, you know, she's just, you know, looking at other stuff, talking about what just happened. And I was able to, you know, indicate to her very softly, you never have to do that if I'm there. You don't got to go to that degree. Now, I'm not thinking it's deep. I'm not thinking it's about to affect you emotionally. Man, you got quiet. And a few minutes later, I'm like, yo, you okay?
Yeah.
Right. And in a few seconds, tears started to flow. And I couldn't understand why it had got to that point. And I'm going to hand it over to you to maybe express what you want to about that situation. I say that to say I was able to see that level of a woman, of a wife in a caption on your birthday before I even knew you. I've never had that. And I didn't even need you to feel as bad as you felt about it. But I didn't even think that type of woman that respected me so much would get upset with herself for just having a blind spot in the moment where you've had to be the man of the ship your whole life and now you were the man that can handle things. I was able to see that level of respect in the caption you put up on your birthday 3 years prior to that moment. You want to speak anything about that particular instant?
Yeah, and at some point I am going to speak about this more in depth because it's definitely something that I feel like women need to hear more about, and we need to speak more about almost like this innate sense of just not feeling safe to the point right. that we show up in our masculinity, even in moments where we don't have to, where we show up to protect ourselves and preserve ourselves in moments where we don't have to. Right. And so in that moment where, you know, one thing about me is, yes, I've had to protect myself my whole life. It's just been me and my mom, you know, with working with contractors and things like that. I see you coming, you right. know, I see when you full of BS and,
Licksters.
You know, I was in debate the whole time I was in high school. Right. I wanted to be a lawyer. So right. one thing about me is, if I see any hole in your story, I'm about to poke a hole right. in it. And you
and
ain't
you enjoy
gonna,
it.
I do. Yeah. I do enjoy it. I really enjoy it. And so in this moment, I went in and I'm like, I'm about to be a wife. I'm about to sit down and let my husband do all the talking. And this man said one thing. He was like, you know, if I fix the sunroof.
Because the sunroof didn't work.
Yeah, the sunroof didn't work, which was the highlight of the car. And he was like, if I fix the sunroof, I got to charge you more. And my thing was, why would you even want to sell a car that doesn't have the sunroof done? You wrong starting out. Right. So that was enough for me to latch on to and even forget to allow myself to be a wife. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, as women, we want love so bad. Mm-hmm. We want to be protected so bad. We want to feel safe so bad. And when the opportunity is present for us to rest in that, we don't even know how to receive it.
Right.
I've said this to women for so long. Like, girl, right. you don't even know how to receive love. Like, you know, you want love so bad. Mm. I've taught this over and over again.
Right.
This was the first time I was able to see, oh, I don't know how to rest in my femininity.
Right.
And this is not to say that I'm not allowed to negotiate deals. Right. This is not to say that I'm not allowed to. Because like you said, like, babe, you a boss too. Yeah. Like, you know how to negotiate yeah. deals. But also, when I'm there, it's not necessary.
Right.
And so what I
read. It's not necessary to go to that level of
to
energy.
That degree.
Yeah.
And so what I recognized was, I didn't even give myself the opportunity to rest in my femininity. I didn't even give myself the opportunity to allow my husband to be my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even give myself the opportunity to remember that you were present, because right. I went straight into doing what I've always done. I had to make deals with men.
Right.
10 years in the military, 7 years as a police officer. There's not a lot of women in those places. So I went to muscle memory and didn't even recognize it.
Right.
So when you brought it to my attention, you also was like, did I say it too harsh? Did I bring it to your attention right. so too harshly? And I had to tell you, like, no, it was actually very, very graceful how you brought it to my attention. But the reason why I was so emotional was because I was able to actually see myself mm-hmm. and see my inability to receive love, receive guidance, and rest.
Right.
I only saw that I knew how to protect myself.
Right.
And that didn't feel good that I have someone here who has more than enough ability to protect me, to show up for me, to negotiate deals where I don't have to do the things anymore.
Right.
I can, obviously, if I want to, but I don't want right. to. And the average woman does right. not want to. So why don't we give ourselves permission? Why do we forget to allow our men to love us in the way that we want them to love us? And so I also felt bad because I'm like, if I'm going to keep showing up in my armor, what's the point in having my husband who is trying to constantly take my armor off?
Mm.
He's like, hey, you don't need this. I'm here. Hey, you don't have to do that. I'm here. Hey, you don't have to respond, react in this way. I'm
right.
here. Hey, you don't have to negotiate business deals with men. I'm here.
Right.
You don't have to show up in your hard shell
right.
because I'm here now. And it's what I recognize and why I was so emotional is I didn't feel like I honored you for who I know that you are
mm.
and what I know that you are in my life. I felt like I robbed you of your opportunity to show up as my husband in that moment.
Mm.
And I felt like I robbed myself of the opportunity to feel mm. what it feels like for my husband to show up for me in that moment, to show up with me, beside me in that moment. I robbed myself of that opportunity. And it was just like a huge, like, you don't know how to receive love either.
Mm.
And that was just so eye-opening for me.
Mm.
And I did recognize that this does mean that, you know, I really honor you in
right.
a way that,
right.
you know, I've always said. But in that moment, it was like, I didn't honor my husband the way that I want to honor my husband.
Right.
My wounds showed up in that moment, or my trauma, or the need to protect, my protective shell showed up in that moment. And the way that I want to honor my husband did not reflect how I showed up in that moment. And I just felt really bad. I felt ashamed. I felt embarrassed. I felt confused. I just felt a lot of things.
Right. And, that's what I mean about the level of respect that I knew you was going to be able to have for a brother in that caption. And that also goes to my confidence in being able to allow spirit to speak through me and express. Because there have been versions of myself that wouldn't have said nothing, would have built resentment by not saying something and just feeling like, well, damn, she don't even like really trust me like that or allow me to be a man, because I may not have allowed myself to have the opportunity to say it. And these little cracks is what a lot of times develops into brother having his eyes open a little bit more for something else out here. Again, not even about the lady lumps that he may see. It's that crack of having that moment, him wanting to say it and not having that spiritual confidence and wherewithal and trust that even if this goes left or my wife gets upset, I still need to say this to on behalf of myself and to let her know in these type of situations, I got it. So both of those kind of came into a matrimony in that moment of me allowing myself to get it out. And then seeing how greatly, like we talking maybe like 2 days where you was processing through how badly you felt. And
oh,
it wasn't
yeah.
even that deep for me. Like I was never mad at you. I just felt like, I, you know, going forward, we ain't got to do that.
Don't
I got
argue
you.
With no man.
Yeah, no doubt. And especially if I'm right there. Like, yeah,
right.
no doubt. But yeah, both of those kind of came to a head. So a lot of times these are the pockets that actually end up being the soil from which infidelity may start to grow. And a lot of times it's way beyond a man or woman just thinking somebody else is sexy. It's the violation that's that is experiencing those moments where you violate yourself by not saying what you got to say. You violate yourself as the man or woman by being too rigid against a blind right. spot being exposed to you. And then that grows into the disconnect, the discontentment with each other. And before you know it, you're looking to the left, you're looking to the right. What else is out here? Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And then also it's like, it goes both ways. Like, we have to be able, like James Baldwin says, if I love you, I have to make you conscious of the things you don't
Absolutely.
See. And it also matters your delivery and how you expose a person's blind spots.
Right.
It matters. You cannot just say whatever right. you want to say and then think a person is going to receive it. If this is a person that you love, you better figure out 100 different ways
Facts.
To say what you need
Which
to
I
say.
Which I did in that moment.
Absolutely.
We always do it each other. You got it.
Yeah, we're always trying to figure out specific ways, even if we have to send it in a text
Facts.
Message, even if we have to write it on paper, even if it has to be in person, however it needs to
right.
be related, then it needs to be related so it comes across in a way that our partners can actively receive it. Even if we have to ask them, there's something that I feel really uncomfortable about that I want to say to you, but I want to make sure that I say it in the best way.
Right.
Can you tell me what that way
right,
is
right.
that won't make you feel defensive
right.
or like I'm attacking you, because that's not my intention. And I want to make sure that I use the proper words, that I protect my words, so that's not something that you feel.
Right.
And so, you know, I also hear a lot of people like right now listening to this podcast. What if they're already in a space where infidelity has taken place? And so, like, how do they navigate that? How do you navigate the trust being broken in this space? And do you go back to a relationship after someone has cheated? Or if you are a person who is entering a relationship, do you set the boundary that you are choosing not to maintain a relationship if that person ever cheats? I really feel like when it comes to romantic relationships, you have to know how far you're willing to go.
Absolutely.
That has nothing to do with setting a boundary with another person. That is you setting a boundary with yourself. How far are you willing to go? What are you willing to put up with? What are you willing to feel? What are you willing to experience? One thing about me is I've been in situations or relationships where I was cheated on before in the past. And yes, I was able to stay in the relationship and forgive the person, but my mind was not mature enough to be able to let it go. And every time I remembered, I would feel the emotions again. And so I was in a relationship with someone thinking that I forgave them, but I was having to forgive them every hour because now
for one incident.
For
sometimes.
One incident.
Yeah.
And so because I was emotional and like still trying to let it go 3 years later,
right.
2 years later.
Right.
And so now for me, I can't stay in any relationship where infidelity happens just because, yes, I'm going to be able to forgive, but I've done so much beautiful work on myself that I don't deserve to have to put my mind through that type of mental gymnastics.
I choose ease.
I choose ease and I choose love that does not have to be hard. Yeah, now, hard does not take away challenging.
Right.
Love is going to be challenging at moments, but unnecessary challenges for certain people may not be necessary. I've went through unnecessary challenges in this phase of my life. We choose ease in our relationships
right.
where infidelity is not an option. And so you're going to have to decide how far you are willing to go and why. And if you're someone in a relationship who has experienced infidelity, what is your advice to them if they choose to stay? Because it's not a one size fits all. Just because I say that, you know, staying in a relationship is going to be too much for me mentally and emotionally to really be able to move past.
Right.
That does not mean that that equation is the best equation for
Absolutely.
Anyone else to adopt.
Absolutely.
You may need to learn that hard lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You may need to learn how to continue loving your partner through that type of change.
Right.
And I say that now, My husband may say that now, and we never know what happens if the situation occurs. Maybe our spirit will give us a different type of guidance, but you still have to be clear on how far you're willing to go. So what is your advice to someone in that space?
You can cheat if you want. I ain't going nowhere. That's why I'm cool with Emma.
You know, my husband has always, and that was the thing too, when we first started, I think I was so afraid to enter a relationship because I was enjoying my freedom. Mm-hmm. And I never wanted to feel caged. I never wanted to feel like my options were taken away.
Right.
And I always wanted to be free and maintain that freedom. Right. And my husband has always maintained that I'm going to always allow you to be free.
Right.
And I appreciate that freedom because I'll always allow you to be free as well.
Right.
And also, how that's changed, it's not really something that I need anymore.
Right.
I needed that when that was the fearful part of me. But I ain't trying to go nowhere. So I'm free exactly where I am in the confines of Ajna and our house.
Right. And I've worked with couples who have been able to overcome and get to the other side of infidelity and understand that they needed that experience and it made them better partners and made them better individuals. So again, we're not telling nobody what to do and we're not telling you it's not possible. What I will say though, a lot of times I tell my female clients that are single, one of the main questions, and I've said this before, the episode with Kara, asking a man, what is he doing to control his sexual appetite? What is he doing to control his D? But I'll add a question to that, that me and you had this conversation very, I ain't gonna say very early on, but before the ceremony at St. John's, when I put that ring on your finger. And even in that moment, I said, this is not to own you. I'm not proposing to you to have you for the rest of my life. I would love that, but I'm still going to keep you free. And this is just an acknowledgement of me wanting to tie my spirit to you, however that's going to look from here, right? But we did have conversations before that about how we saw infidelity, about how we feel we would react at this point in our journey and how we would respond if cheating was to happen. And not even necessarily talking about me and you. We were just having general conversation on our view, our vantage point. A lot of people never even have this conversation. A lot of times we don't even ask when we start to have sex with another person.
That's so true.
Who else are you doing something with? We just like them. A lot of times women do this with men. Kind of got an idea that they moving and shaking, but you don't actually have that conversation. How many people, other people are you engaging with?
And then the expectation is that you are just honoring me.
Right. And if you're not, we just expect, all right, all that need to come to a halt right now. Right. So we actually had conversations about what we feel like we would do if infidelity came up. Now, like what I just said right now, I mean that. That's not what I said then. Right. And the situation could come up and it could change again. Like you said, you leave that space for what spirit needs of you in that moment. But in that moment, we both said like, nah, that's a violation that we don't feel compelled to want to have to fight through because we understand how damaging an act that is. A lot of the brothers that I've worked with who have been the victimizer, if you will, or the culprit, it may have been 10, 15 years removed and they can't understand. They almost think it's unfair for the woman to continuously bring it up.
Yeah, why can't you let that go?
Why can't you let that go? But like you said, you may say something a certain way that triggers that woman to go back to 10 years ago and she got to forgive you again. So even if it was just one act, which 9 times out of 10 is not, that one act turns into 1,000 different forgiveness points that you probably not even aware of as a man because the woman feels ashamed that it's still affecting her in this way.
Right.
That's a lot of work. So my advice is always this. I'm not even going to entertain myself, and I advocate any man or woman. I'm not even going to entertain trying to work through infidelity with somebody if they genuinely are not advocating us break up because they don't want to have to put you, me, through what you're going to have to go through to be able to get to a healthy point again, to be able to forgive me. They are able to understand what that energy and damage is. And I want to offer you your freedom as much as I may want this situation to last. I want to keep my wife. I want to keep my girlfriend. I want you to go your separate way for the sake of your own heart. If they don't at least offer you that in an authentic, genuine way, not to do reverse psychology on you,
right?
It's no discussion to be had, because you really not even factoring into this equation, what this is going to do to my soul and how it's going to be broken over and over to try to continue to be with you. If you can't have enough respect for my journey, it's no way I'm going to even think about trying to continue with the situation. So if you are somebody who is dealing with this right now and that offerance has never come from your partner, I'm not saying leave them today, but this is a conversation y'all may need to have. This is something you may need to investigate within your own spirit of if you are with a partner who, one, understands how energy to that degree works, and two, is capable of letting you leave, letting you go at the expense of what they gonna feel because it's best for you.
And the other coin, the other side of that coin is I get a lot of women who are like, you know, my husband or my boyfriend cheated and it's his job to make me trust him again. We're not going to play that game.
Facts.
So, yes, change behavior is required. Mm-hmm. Yes, your significant other or your spouse is going to need to show and prove that there are elements of their behavior that they are healing through, growing through, and evolving. And they are not relegated to the you scrutinizing them to make you feel safe and trusted for the rest of their life.
Right.
Now, if you can't let it go, if you can't heal from it, if you cannot grow from it, then you don't have no business being in that relationship.
Ready to sign them papers.
Right. So you are going to have to decide, do I have the mental, emotional wherewithal to really get through this situation, to heal through this situation? Because I'm only going to say sorry so many times.
Right.
You
know?
I'm only going to be able to show up and feel bad and ashamed and guilty for so long. At some point, we both have to heal from this situation. We both have to grow from this situation. I understand that when women are in this space, the men may feel guilty for a while, ashamed for a while, bad for a while, embarrassed for a while. It fades because they're like, see all the good things that I'm doing now. And then the woman has the frustration because she has to acknowledge all the good things that you're doing
right
now, while she simultaneously remembers the trust that you broke, the vows that you broke, and how you just dishonored her or embarrassed her. So she's having to live in two different worlds of remembering the past, trying not to remember the past, and also being present in the present reality. Mm. So that builds a constant. You have to constantly work through resentment. You have to constantly work towards forgiveness. And then you're on your own by yourself.
Absolutely.
Because you can't keep bringing this up to the person. You're going to have to at some point just take it and heal it and transmute it by yourself. Because how many times are you going to be able to tell your husband, I'm still sad about the fact that you cheated on me 5 years ago? At some point, your husband's going to be like, okay, God, no, we still here. We still talking about this. So at some point, your healing is going to be your own responsibility.
Right.
You are not going to be able to rely on that man or that woman to heal you, make you feel better, make you feel safe, and make you feel trusted. They can only do so much as humans. And at some point, you're going to have to take your own responsibility and your power back and decipher, can I really let this go for myself?
Right.
Do I want to continue to hold on to these memories? Because even though your husband's living his life with you, even though your wife's living or your girlfriend's living her life with you, they still have to release that guilt. They got to release that shame and that embarrassment, and they have to move on with their lives. If you were the person that was cheating on, you're still holding the resentment in your body. You're still holding those memories in your body. It's going to start affecting you with stress and with mental ailments and body ailments and aches and pains.
Right.
That is trauma. It may be a traumatic situation. And so you're going to have to decipher, do I have the ability to move forward in this in a healthy way?
And the last thing I'll say before we wrap up, when you do, I'm not going to say mandatory, but I think it could be helpful if you are in a situation where you would like to try to continue. Y'all still would need some hiatus from each other, like a significant one. I'm not going to tell you how long it's supposed to be, but really extend the freedom both ways for that person in their own space, in their own universe, without doubling the work of having to be in this alternate universe of the infidelity, whether you were the one doing it or received it. Free yourselves from that double work to really be able to heal as individuals, to give yourself a solid shot if y'all are meant to be able to continue down the line after y'all have had the space to go into your own cave spiritually, go into your own universe, and just take yourself on just by yourself. A lot of times we skip that process, and you may be in a situation where y'all should continue, but y'all never gave yourself that space to have the catharsis fully.
Right, that's a good
point. To have a chance to come back and do it for real. So I think that's an important nuance as well.
And the other thing as well is acknowledging that just because a person cheats does not mean that it's your fault.
Right.
It does not mean that it has anything to do with you. A person who chooses to cheat, they have... It's all about them.
Right.
Even if they say it's because you're controlling, it's because you don't, you know, dress up anymore, it's because you're mean.
Right.
At any point in that relationship, they have the opportunity to use their words, ask for what they need, mm-hmm. or leave.
So that means they're cheating on themselves to be able to even cheat on you.
Absolutely.
First.
Yeah. So no matter what that person chooses to do, if they choose to cheat, it still has absolutely nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with them.
Absolutely.
So a lot of times when people cheat, specifically for women, the first thing that they go to is what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Why not me? And they could be battling the fact that they are so love deprived that they need to feel love from multiple sources just to fill those voids and to put medicine on those wounds. Sometimes it's like when a person overeats,
right.
or when a person smokes all day, or when they drink all the time, they never feel satiated,
right.
because they're not drinking to get drunk. They're not smoking to get high. They're smoking to escape a wound, a trauma, a pain that is lying deeply dormant in their cells and their DNA.
Mm.
And so typically when a person cheats, there's some other wound, emotional pain that they're attempting to medicate, cover up, escape from, or hide from, so they don't have to feel that pain. And you just happen to be collateral damage in
Absolutely.
That process.
Yep.
So I don't care what happens. It is not your job to assume the responsibility, especially if you know that you have not done anything wrong
Absolutely.
When a person cheats. And so if you are going to stay in that relationship, that person needs to know the truth of why they chose to rely on the behavior of cheating.
Right.
Where did it actually stem from?
Right.
And if it's just because she was cute, or he was fine, or he was there for me, give yourself permission to really go to therapy and get to the underlying reason. I needed to feel loved. I needed to feel seen. I wanted someone to hear me. I wanted someone to make me feel like I was important. I wanted someone to finally make me feel like I was a big deal.
Right.
Or I needed to escape myself, and so I just tried to do it in somebody else. Whatever the reason is, you're going to have to get to the root cause of why that behavior took place.
Right, and I think that's a great point to leave off on. So if you guys need help with that, are you accepting clients right now?
This is the first time. I think I'm going to say no.
No? Okay, so yeah. I'll let you, boy. This is what I do. And especially for my brothers that want to have a system, want to be included in the science that helped me to get control of my D, to be able to experience a paradise, like being married to this woman over here. Holler at me. I'm an expert at that. At this point in my journey. And again, if you guys want couples therapy and things of that nature, holler at me for that as well. But there's definitely help out here. If it's not me, whether y'all gonna stay together or not, you still gonna need help. You said something before we started, as far as when you got your breast reduction, that you feel like every woman who gets, or a person who gets their body augmented in any way, should have therapy pre and post operation.
Absolutely.
I think the same thing applies to pre and post infidelity as well.
Absolutely, for sure. So yeah, if you need any help with that, definitely hit up my husband. If you are interested in the book, definitely order via my website at candicelove.com. Also, Sasha Flowers will be launching in September. We still have spaces open for our emotional healing retreat and meditation retreat in July. We
Sixth to
have
the 10th.
a couple spaces open for July 6th to the 10th. We're
Nice.
starting our Sundays with Source nature
Nature walks,
walks next Sunday, May 27th. It will be in Memorial Park. I just posted the flyer to my Instagram, and the purpose behind that is to start creating community and being outdoors. This is where all of healing takes place. The smells, the colors, the wind, the trees, everything in the nature is designed to help us heal, grow, and evolve. It literally is like 85% of the emotional healing and spiritual healing journey. So we'll be hosting that. It'll be so we'll get there at
9:19.
9:19 on the Sundays. Every other Sunday, 9:19, we'll go for our nature walk, and then we'll come back. We'll do meditation. We'll do sound therapy with the singing bowls. We'll do emotional alchemy with journal prompts and me guiding that as well. My husband's doing the guided meditation, and we'll do that every other Sunday and just have our own version of church in the park.
And it is donation based. Of course, we respect and appreciate reciprocity. We promote reciprocity. So if you do come and you have a beautiful experience and you got it to give, I would implore you to honor your own spirit and honoring the effort we're going to put into this. But if you ain't got it, still come anyway. You pay whatever you feel compelled to pay. So it is donation based. If you know anybody that just needs to be in this type of environment and they may not have $15, $20 to spend, please invite them as well, because we just want to build community. But still also respect reciprocity as well if y'all got it.
Absolutely. And that's every other Sunday, but this one will be May 27th. So that's next Sunday. And so what'll happen is just DM us if you have any questions. The address is on the flyer on our Instagram accounts. But if you have any questions, just DM us and we'll drop y'all the exact location.
Episode 12 in the books.
You always remember what episode we're on. It's crazy.
Masculine energy, B.
All right, y'all. Thank y'all so much
Peace.
for being here.
Get the book. Stop
Yes,
playing.
get the book. Bye, y'all.